The City Quick Connect podcast is brought to you by the Municipal Association of South Carolina.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Bulware, Director of Main Street South Carolina at the Municipal Association, the economic development organization that focuses on downtown revitalization. Today, I am in historic downtown Lawrence, joined by April and Gary Bailey, merchants and owners of a historic building in the downtown district who received an inspiration award this past year for the work that they have done in this building. And so we're just going to talk about that process and have some conversation about how do we inspire others to also take that journey. So let's begin first with your building. You know, why did you choose this particular building? It's huge. Let's talk about that square footage. How big is it?
The complete building is 20,000 square feet. One floor of that is a basement, so each floor is about 5,000 square feet. And our CPA firm occupies the second floor, so that was our reason for needing new space, and we were expanding, and we enjoyed the whole 5,000 square feet. And the third floor we turned into the Palmetto Room. It was already historically set up as like a ballroom, and now we have events there such as wedding receptions, or we've had a few weddings. And the first floor is rented out to storefront merchants.
And there's something coming with one of those storefronts.
Yes. So the Artist Coop, who's been in downtown Lawrence for 20 years, they're making some changes, and so they're going to relocate to another location, which gave us the opportunity to renovate their space. That's the only space that had not been renovated originally because they were already occupying it. So in January of 24, we will start renovating for Groucho's Deli, which is really exciting. You know, they're out of Columbia, family-owned. We think it'll be a great fit for downtown Lawrence.
And there are already several restaurants here, but the more the merrier, because that gives more options. People want to have opportunities to diversify their dining, whether it's lunch or dinner. So let's talk about the renovation process. You know, you came in thinking one thing about, you know, your price point and the timeline. How did you manage expectations and then the reality of those changes in both the price and the timeline?
It was a challenge at first because we're CPAs. We're not developers. So we didn't understand fully the cost involved with commercial renovation. So we came in, I don't mind telling you, we came in with a $500,000 roughly budget to renovate this space. We spent $1.8 million instead. Now, in that original $500,000, we did not have a sprinkler, and we did not have an elevator in that cost. But what we found is through the process, we have determined, one, we qualify for historical credits and abandoned building credits, which were huge. So what we realized was we're getting roughly 70% credit on every dollar we spend on the renovation of that 1.8. You know, we had additional monies for buying the property and additional costs for furniture. You don't get any credits on that. But you start thinking through and you think, I get this one-time opportunity with this credit. I need to go ahead and fully sprinkle. I need to go ahead and get an elevator in here. So we basically went from a shoestring budget, which wasn't realistic to start with. We just didn't realize that, to let's fully do everything we can to this building. Let's put all new windows. Let's put all new lighting, all new fixtures, all new electrical, plumbing, everything that we could do. So we probably went from a shoestring budget to maxing out and doing everything we could to this building because we felt like we had this credit available to us. So let's use it.
Use it. Yeah. And maximize future potential.
That's yes. Right.
Be at one moment. Yeah. Yes. So you're not having to come back in and disrupt office space.
Yeah. And it was overwhelming because the contractor would come, who was a great contractor, and he'd be like, we need another $250,000. And we're like, by the third time he told us that, we're like, you can't keep coming to us for another $250,000. But we did know what was going on.
Sure.
And really, they did a great job. And really, we really try to encourage people to look into those historic and abandoned building credits because they are really a valuable asset in that process.
And there are requirements to meet. And, you know, you can't do the work in advance. You have to have approvals.
Yes.
But you're a really great example of a real activation in real time for others to say, let me see what you did. Let's talk about this process. What should I be anticipating? Let's talk about what is your most favorite aspect of the renovation. You know, do you have a favorite area or?
Well, there's two parts to that. Like in the building itself, I love the doors because they're original, the original floors, the light fixtures, just the overall space, how large the rooms are. Just the whole building has a uniqueness to it that just, it's a joy to come in and work here every day. So it's really special, I think, to be owner-occupied, that we got to renovate it and we get to use it, not just rent it out to tenants. It's enjoyable to be here every day. If we're not at home, this is a pretty great place to be.
Yeah.
The second part of that, I would say, it just came with it, not the building itself, the relationships that you build.
Mm.
Just from, you know, we really love our builder, designer, the people in the city that we were introduced to. The mayor comes by, you speak with the mayor, building in codes. It was fun getting to know those guys.
People interested in the building.
Yeah.
The police department. And then, of course, even like Main Street, South Carolina,
yeah.
Many interactions with you guys. And so now that's even a resource for us to help other people that we've been through this process. People you might not know who someone needs, but you know who to ask the question.
Right.
You know who to contact, and that's really helpful. And it's just been fun getting into all those relationships and seeing where that can go in the future, too. You feel like you have a great resource for the community and for many other people.
Yeah, I would add that I didn't realize how much we would enjoy historic buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're really unique because you go into this space and... like April said, the rooms are big and bigger than maybe you would build it if you built a new building. The ceilings are, you know, 12, 15, 16 feet in different places, lots of windows. And so you really fall in love with the history of the buildings. And so I really can fully understand now why it's really important to offer those historic credits to get these buildings restored, because this is a piece of history. This building was built over 100 years ago in the early 1900s, and now here we are setting in it again. That's really a cool feeling. And like April said, it's really fun because we get to be in it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And each level is used. A lot of times we'll see renovations where it's that first floor, and then folks will say, well, we'll get to the second and third later. For y'all to have done 100% is really, it's an undertaking, but it creates immediate activation for each one of those levels. So let's talk about the history of the building. What was something that you learned about this historic structure that you didn't know, or that you've incorporated? So down the hallway, you've got these wonderful windows that were part of the historic original doors. So talk a little bit about that.
I would say one of the neat things that I found out about this building as we did some research is two. One, even though it was built in 1907, it's still framed building, like pop rivets, you know, and like they were doing in New York City.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. Just, you'll see some of the steel framing down in the basement. And then the other thing that I thought was really cool was Enterprise Bank was in this building. And in the 20s, they printed U.S. currency. So you can get $20 bills. Well, I would say you can get, they're very difficult. I saw one for auction years ago, but you can get, they were $20 bills. It looks just like a $20 bill, but it says Enterprise Bank of Lawrence, South Carolina.
Right, oh my gosh.
So to give you some reference, I saw one that sold for auction in 2010. It was a $20 bill and it sold for $12,000.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't think there's, I read that they ended up printing about $50,000 worth of $20 bills out of this building.
Yeah.
And there's probably very few of them left, but it would be really cool to
frame one here.
And we also have a mural in the building that the artist took, viewed the $20 bill and took some little details from that and incorporated that into the mural. And from an old postcard, he kind of had an image.
Well, it's a very prominent mural. So when you come up the stairwell and turn around, boom.
Yes.
And it looks historic, but it also is a modern interpretation of this space.
That, and what April was saying is, it's really cool because at first, you know, it's a painted mural on the wall, which was what they did back in that time. And that's why we didn't want pictures. We wanted it painted right on the wall to keep that historic look. But when you explain what the mural is, that it's a postcard from 1907, and it's the it's part of the $20 bill painted on there. Mm-hmm. So you're merging the Palmetto Bank, which came in after the Enterprise Bank, and the Enterprise Bank in here. It's a really neat mural.
In this space, so you have a lot of employees. So you're one of those businesses in our downtown districts that is not just two people in a giant space. How many employees do you have?
We have 15, and have been blessed with some really great young people, and continue to hire. So we continue to grow. At this point, we try to bring in new college graduates every May. So hopefully we'll have another coming in this May.
And this is job creation.
Yes. Yeah. And we actually feel like the building has led to new clients and it helps recruit new employees. I think when college students come in and they're interviewing with us, they appreciate the building and like the space and can envision themselves in the space, and it's been a good tool to have.
If I were trained in CPA work, I would want to immediately work in the space, from your break room to that private office space to just the windows. This natural light it's something you don't find in modern buildings, whether it's, you know, in a strip mall where you might have similar agencies that exist. You know, did y'all look at other spaces before you decided to take on this?
It's a funny story. We did. We looked at another building downtown, which was about 8,000 square feet or 4,000. So it was much smaller. And April went, she and I looked at it. She said, you know, I really love that other building. I'm talking about this building, which then was called, everybody knew it as the Palmetto Building. And I said, yeah, me too. And so we went back to work, and probably an hour later, I said, hey, guess what? We just bought the Palmetto Building.
Oh, wow. So you gave him the green light, right? That's how it happens.
Somehow I didn't realize it, but I did. And since this was the Palmetto Bank at one point, that's why we called the upstairs event venue the Palmetto Room. Just a nod to that.
It's a perfect space, too. So that Palmetto Room can house how many people for an event?
We can have up to 250 people. We include tables and chairs for up to 200. So we have some people that just want their wedding reception and they get married at a local church. Some people we have flipped the space for.
Oh,
so you wedding, then flipping for the reception.
It includes, as well, a catering kitchen. You have, obviously, you have an elevator to get to the top. It has a bridal suite, private bath for the bride. So it's a really great space.
Of course, we like to say the best view in Lawrence. It's the highest and looks over the city and at the courthouse.
Yeah, as the courthouse renovation is coming to completion, and it's such a pretty view to look down at the courthouse. Yeah.
So when you won the award, what was that experience like to have, you know, been recognized for this work and then to have been recognized in Greenville at the annual meeting?
That was really special. I mean, it's always fun to feel like you got a reward for your efforts. So unexpected, but very special. And of course, it's a very special project to us and near and dear to our hearts. So that was just a great way to manifest all that. And so it's been a fun experience. And going to Greenville and having the big meeting, it was much larger than I thought. I thought it was just going to be a few people. And I was glad it was pre-filmed and I didn't have to speak to everyone. But
I love that it brought some recognition to Lawrence as well. I mean, this is the biggest building in our downtown area on the square, and it's been empty for 40 or 50 years, and it needed to be renovated. It was neat for people to get to get some, or for the city of Lawrence to get some recognition, to say, hey, come down here. Yeah. There's a lot of cool things going on down here.
And inspire others to maybe consider the possibilities that maybe they're not ready, but they can at least envision what could be happening in some of these spaces.
We do tell all of the property owners on the square, as well as anyone that's listening to this podcast, like, hey, just call us. If you want to come, have some coffee, have lunch, we would love to just explain the process to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to charge you for it. We just want you to know these opportunities are out there. Right. So if you want to renovate an old building, here's what you can do. Here's how you can go about it.
That's what I love, too, about just the downtown communities that we always are learning from each other and willing to open up the opportunities to gather next level. And so you're not having to reach out to somebody that you don't know in a whole other state. It's happening right here in our state.
Especially if it comes from this development is not our, that's not our business. We're right. CTAs.
Yeah.
So it may feel more comfortable for someone to call us who is just a husband and wife that developed a building to say, hey, let me just tell you straight what I'm not trying to sell you anything. Here's how it goes. And this is what you can expect.
I'm going to talk one moment about just the parking. You know, so you have this beautiful building, but you also have so many employees, and where are they parking? Because the square is limited. You do have public parking spaces, but what did y'all do in the back area? Because that's kind of a forgotten space that people don't realize we need to think about.
Thankfully, we were able to make the back of our building beautiful.
Yeah.
Before the before pictures, there is a power pole with seems like a million different directions with wires and lines going, but we were able to work with CPW again, building those relationships mm-hmm. and with our builder to get that taken down, things moved underground. We did have to do a little retaining wall made out of brick. We made it historic to look like our building.
Nice landscaping.
Yeah.
And we're able to fit 18 parking mm-hmm. places.
That's great.
So, thankfully, two of our employees rent apartments on the square. So
they just walk right to work.
They do. Yeah. They say they love it. They walk out their front door, and 5 minutes later, they're walking into our door.
That is something that's really unique yeah. to a downtown district. Well, April and Gary, thank you for your time today. We appreciate the investment that y'all have made, and then, you know, the investment that you're making in others for them to be welcomed. To learn from you and best practices and challenges, but also the successes that you've had. To our listeners, to learn more about Main Street South Carolina, you can go to masc.sc and look up Main Street South Carolina and hear a little bit more about April and Gary's journey in this downtown effort.
The City Quick Connect podcast is one of several ways the Municipal Association keeps you informed of the opportunities and issues impacting South Carolina cities and towns. Learn more at www.masc.sc and stay up to date with the Association's latest happenings on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.